Thank you very much, Phil. And I'm sorry I confused where you live. I think I have Powell River on the brain, but Salt Springs is not a bad place to be either. So thank you. I now have the pleasure of introducing to you Colin Palmer. Colin has lived in Powell River for 40 years, and during that time has been an alderman, the mayor of Powell River, and has been elected chair of the regional board for the last 5 years. He was a founding member of the Powell River Anti-Pollution Association in the early 1970s and was appointed to the Provincial Environmental Appeal Board in the 80s. He has also been heavily involved in economic development issues and ferry service in his community. He has a BA in English, History, and Geography and was a teacher for 17 years and has owned and run his small printing business for 27 years. He still enjoys running his business. He refuses to retire. He's married with 2 children and 3 grandsons, and Colin was instrumental in the fight to have a regional district resolution passed in Powell River banning GE crops, and he's going to talk to you about the role that municipal governments can play in the creation of a GE-free Canada.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I really appreciate the invitation by the Council of Canadians. I'm a little bit fearful. Based on what's going on in Ottawa, I'm a politician, and I'm just wondering what you think about me. I might have a microphone under my lapel, and I might be recording any conversation that I have with you. Based on what we all know, I tell lies, I cheat, I look for brown envelopes with money in them in restaurants, I'm dumb, I can't give straight answers, and I'm unapproachable, and the day I'm unelected, I'm totally the opposite. I'm a great guy after that, but when you're a politician, it's pretty cool. I'd just like to say that from my experience in local government over 13 years, if 1% of local elected officials are corrupt, I'd be very surprised. Most of them are very, very honest, good, dedicated people, and you should appreciate that about them. What's going on in Ottawa is something else. Why Powell River for a genetically engineered free crop zone? Powell River is isolated. It's 110 kilometers from here up the coast. It's not on Vancouver Island. It took me 5 hours to get here today to travel those 110 kilometers, waiting in parking lots, traveling on ferries, and driving. That's how isolated we are. There are 20,000 people in the region, and we're a resource area. We're part of rural British Columbia, which has 70% of the resources and 30% of the population. And we have a belief that a diversified, stable economy is absolutely essential in such a rural area. And we need to develop the economy, and particularly to sustain what already exists. There are some difficulties. We're owned by a number of corporations. Braskem is now a new owner of part of the Powell River region. They own a huge tree farm license. They own 16,000 hectares of private land. Norske Canada owns the mill, and they own 3 others on Vancouver Island. Great Pacific Energy owns the power dams in the Powell River region. And BC Ferry Authority controls how we move. All those corporations control our lives, and one of my jobs is to try and persuade them that they don't. And somewhere in all this, there's a number of small farmers trying to be part of the local economy. And one niche they're trying to develop is organic farming. And so there's a strong awareness of food quality and a necessity to have a diversity of crops. And they feel threatened by genetic engineering. And when you take into effect the fact that throughout the whole history of food production, there are only about 12 crops which have ever been domesticated. That's all. Throughout the world. And there are only 14 animals that have ever been domesticated. If you control those, you control the world. And that stays in the minds of myself and my board and my community. So based on Percy's practical expertise, the Powell River region can't afford now to have corporations controlling the food supply through genetic engineering. And my board believes that the declaration of the Powell River region being a genetically engineered free crop zone sends a message. My board has drawn a line in the sand. That's it. And that's how we feel at the moment. So that's one of the reasons we wanted the zone. What does the zone mean? People will come to me and say, well, you can't enforce that, Colin. I mean, what are you playing at? I mean, it's not, you don't have a zone inspector running around. What is it? Well, in local government, you can have policy statements. You can make resolutions. And the reason Vancouver City, and I think one of the aldermen is here, councillors is here tonight. Hi. One of the reasons towns and regions make resolutions, it sends a message. So declaring a zone is a policy statement by local government. And it's also there for future boards, not just for the present one, because politicians in local government are three-year wonders. You're in, you're out. Or you stay a little bit longer, depending on what the public think about you. It's also a warning to the seed companies, to the genetic engineering companies, that we think that if they practice some of their activities in our zone, we might do something about it. We might challenge them and say, perhaps you're going to be liable for damage, and we, the government, are responsible for tackling you if you do that. And so they might be a little bit worried that government could sue such a corporation. It's also a way of local government being proactive. How many times have you heard where the public or the newspaper goes to a local politician and says, we've got an issue, what are you going to do about it? What do? We do studies. We hire consultants and we have a study. And then we move at glacial speed to get to a decision. If you declare a zone, you've made the decision, you've got action. Either chair can immediately move if a corporation starts to mess around with genetic engineering in the Powell River region now. I can do things. So therefore, it's a tool to make things happen. And the board don't have to dither and wonder what they should do. And I can, for example, make immediate protests to senior governments. I can, for example, immediately pick up the phone and talk to that corporate president. I don't have to ask my board. They've got a policy. They told me that they want to support this. I can probably figure out some legislation to deal with it, and I could pass that legislation quickly. I could also arrange for boycotts of products. I could persuade people that because it's a local government policy, we should act. Therefore, the legislation doesn't have to be there in the first place. So if someone says, well, why do you have these zones? They're no good. You can't do anything. You don't have to do something. That can come later. You simply have to send the message. You have to have the trigger there. So I was asked tonight, okay, how do you tackle local government? Why start with local government? Why not start with the federal government? They've got us into this mess. If you listen to Percy, and you listen carefully, he's talking about the Plant Breeders Act of 1990. It literally gives permission for corporations to issue tickets. You know, fisheries officers give tickets out. Conservation officers give tickets. Mounties give tickets. Some of us know about that. but a private corporation in Canada can issue a ticket. What kind of federal democratic government ever figured that out and allowed it to happen? That's what's behind all this. That's why it's so disturbing. And so the only way I think you're going to tackle this is from the bottom up, not from the top down. We as local officials operate in public meetings at least two or three times a week. You have a chance to stand right in front of us and tell us what you think. We are you are our constituents. The media are there. And we meet regularly with our constituents. We have coffee with you. We meet you in the pub. We talk to you in the stores. How many times did you do that with your LA or with your MP or with a cabinet minister in Ottawa? And then the collective votes of the board or your council to declare the zone add up to a lot of constituent support. And then resolutions can be moved forward by your council or by your board to the larger organizations. For example, my board belongs to the Association of Vancouver Island Coastal Communities, where all the regional boards and municipalities in those areas belong together. And there's one for the Lower Mainland, and there's plenty of them up in the interior. And then they bring their collective resolutions to the Union of BC Municipalities, and those resolutions could go on to the Federation of Canadian Municipalities. So you start small and you work up. And I think the Council of Canadians' idea of trying to get some zones declared throughout Canada from the bottom up is far preferable to trying to knock on the doors of cabinet ministers in Ottawa. I've also, as a result of having the zone declaration in my region, I've got the local economic development society to also pass a resolution to support it, because they realize the value of farming in the region. I've got the local chapter of the Council of Canadians supporting it. Socially conscious groups want to support these initiatives. I haven't got a union to do it yet, but I'm working on it, and we need that kind of support. And then there are other concerned local groups. So it has a cumulative effect. Starting with the province and the federal government would be very difficult. For example, first place, the provincial officials, they don't control this federal legislation. So that makes it difficult for them. It's also difficult for individual federal MPs, because this Plant Breeders Act has been there for the last 15 years, and it's very difficult to move legislation like that. What you might want to consider is altering the legislation, diluting it, and also demanding that there be some labeling of food, because in Canada and the United States, you don't know what's in your food. I have here something which I'm sure often reassures you. You buy an apple and there's a little label on it. It's got a number. It means something. That number has some significance. You can track back where that apple came from, etc. Tomatoes, they have a little label. You go and buy a bottle of canola oil. You got the French there. That's on the label. You've got the nutritional results on the label. I found one the other day with kosher in the bottom right-hand corner. So the Jewish religion knows something about canola oil. And I've got a United Farmers Union label in the bottom left-hand corner. But you don't know whether that's a genetically engineered product or not. And you need to find out how we can get those labels organized throughout Canada. How do you approach your local government? Well, there's a popular concept that when you come and talk to me, that you turn up at a public meeting, you abuse and shout at me and the board, You presume that you've then cowed me into submission, and then you ask me for your support for your idea. And if I don't give you my support, you threaten to sue me and not vote for me. And quite frankly, ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't work, all right? We're used to that. So what might work? Okay, well, here's some suggestions which I thought you might want tonight. You might want to arrange a meeting with the mayor or the chair of the local government. You might want to assure that the administrative officer or municipal or the clerk is there as well. Don't just meet the mayor and the chair on their own. Try to have a farmer present. Try to give your main points and recommendations about your concerns about these zones and leave the brief behind. Don't read out a 15-page essay in front of the mayor. He'll just go to sleep or his eyes will glaze over. He has too much to read. And please don't sound religious about the issue. That doesn't go down too well either. Don't get too emotional. Then advise the mayor or the chair that you want to be on the agenda of the next meeting. And the media will certainly be there. You send your brief to all the individual councillors or the board members, and then you turn up at the meeting. You assume they've read the brief. You say that. I assume you've read the brief, and they'll all nod, but probably some of them haven't. And then you read out the executive summary, and then you ask them if they wish to support the recommendations. And you remind them that what the declaration is for. Right? It's not going to cost them anything. They're not going to have to hire people, and they might feel a little bit better about that. And you remind them it's a policy statement. On the other hand, if you're in a regional area, you can go and find some of the rural directors who have got a sort of a more hands-on aspect to this, and you can talk to them individually and ask them to bring it to a committee, and then from there it will move through committee to the council meeting, and you turn up at the council meeting with the theory that you've persuaded some of the directors or councillors that they're already on side, and then the argument becomes public. There's a lot more detail to this, but those are a couple of approaches that you can make. So if you're going to do this throughout Canada, what I recommend to the Council of Canadians when you're dealing with local elected officials, that you follow these little rules. Your approach has to be consistent. You can't have one chapter on Vancouver Island saying something different from one down in Chilliwack. You can't succeed with just emotion. You've got to give them some solid information and some good recommendations to work with. You can't threaten them. They're used to that. You need some of the local support from farmers. You've got to get that. And you must also show the corporations that working on these crops, that the line is in the sand is now being drawn by the people, and you're the people who are telling or asking the locally elected officials to carry through your wishes. So I thank you again for the invitation and hope what I've said has been useful. Thank you.